You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Tuesday, March 10, 2026. Turn me loose. How Canadian crude oil export capacity has struggled to keep up with production. Published by Mike Dunn. Canadian crude oil production has nearly doubled over the past decade, with nearly all of those gains coming from the Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin, WCSB. With those volumes continuing to grow, producers, pipeline companies and politicians are discussing options to add export capacity out of the region. In today's RBN blog, the second of a series, we review the major pipeline projects that have expanded markets for WCSB barrels since 2010, and how the timing of those pipeline capacity additions lined up with WCSB supply growth. As we said in Part 1, Canadian production recently hit 5.6 million barrels per day, and all but 4% of that output comes from the WCSB. The near doubling of production since 2010 is largely attributable to Alberta's oil sands, as producers invested heavily in both new build and expansion projects, especially from the late 2000s through the mid-2010s. So far this decade, Canadian production growth has been driven more by improved capacity utilization at oil sands projects and growing conventional heavy oil and condensate production than by major oil sands capacity expansion projects. Let's start by looking at the WCSB's current export pipeline capacity. You might want to take a look at Figure 1 in today's blog, which shows the six pipeline systems that transport WCSB crude oil to outside markets. Along with other key pipeline systems moving Canadian crude within the U.S., the 3.2 million barrels per day Enbridge mainline system moves roughly two-thirds of all WCSB export volumes, transporting an average of nearly 3.1 million barrels per day across the North Dakota border in H1 2025. The recently expanded, now 890,000 barrels per day Trans Mountain system is the second largest system. It moved an average of 730,000 barrels per day to Pacific markets in H1 2025, while South Bow's 610,000 barrels per day Keystone Pipeline moved 576,000 barrels per day across the North Dakota border in the same 6 months. The remaining three pipelines, Enbridge's 310,000 barrels per day Express, Plains Midstream Canada's 100,000 barrels per day Rangeland and Inner Pipeline's 20,000 barrels per day Milk River, together moved around 340,000 barrels per day across the Montana border in H1 2025. Western Canada's three largest outbound pipeline systems, the Enbridge Mainline, Keystone and Trans Mountain Pipeline Systems, have all provided major capacity increases over the past 16 years. Unfortunately for Canadian crude producers, some of these capacity expansions started up much later than originally expected, largely because of permitting delays. These delays have played a key role in persistently steep price discounts for WCSB crude, as production in excess of demand sometimes outpaced export pipeline capacity. We will begin by reviewing the pipeline projects that added export capacity out of the WCSB since the start of 2010. TransCanada Corporation, now known as TC Energy, began deliveries on its new Keystone Pipeline in June 2010, providing 435,000 barrels per day of capacity from Hardisty, Alberta, into the crude oil hub in Patoka, Illinois. Keystone's ex-WCSB capacity increased to 590,000 barrels per day in February 2011, then to 610,000 barrels per day in 2022. In 2024, TC Energy spun out its crude oil pipeline business as a separate entity, South Bow Corporation, which now operates Keystone. The Enbridge Mainline System, a group of pipelines running in parallel from Alberta to the U.S. Midwest, saw its combined nameplate capacity grow by 630,000 barrels per day between the start of 2010 and the end of 2015, primarily due to construction and expansion of the Alberta Clipper Pipeline, which runs from Alberta to Superior, Wisconsin. The mainline system added 280,000 barrels per day in October 2010, 120,000 barrels per day in October 2014, and another 230,000 barrels per day in July 2015. Another mainline project, the Line 3 Replacement, started deliveries in October 2021, resulting in a 370,000 barrels per day bump to WCSB egress capacity on the mainline. Both of these projects were completed years later than originally planned due to permitting delays. The Trans Mountain Pipeline System, which moves crude from Edmonton, Alberta, to Vancouver, BC, started deliveries on the Trans Mountain Expansion, or TMX, project in May 2024, taking the system's capacity from 300,000 barrels per day to 890,000 barrels per day. This project also saw years of delays. The Enbridge-operated Express Pipeline, which runs south from Hardisty to Casper, Wyoming, where it connects with the Platte Pipeline, also saw a 23,000 barrels per day jump in 2020 to 310,000 barrels per day. While these pipeline projects expanded capacity out of the WCSB, several others were undertaken within the U.S. to move barrels farther south out of PADD 2, Midwest. Enbridge expanded its Southern Access Pipeline, a part of its mainline that runs from Superior to Flanagan, Illinois, built new pipelines, Southern Access Extension, which runs from Flanagan to Patoka, and Flanagan South, which runs from Flanagan to Cushing, and reversed and expanded a pipeline from Cushing to the Gulf Coast, the Seaway Pipeline. In addition, TC Energy, now Southbow, added an extension to the Keystone Line from Steel City, Nebraska, to Cushing in 2011 and added the Marketlink Pipeline to deliver crude from Cushing to the Gulf Coast. In late 2021, operator Marathon Pipeline reversed the Capline Pipeline and began deliveries from Patoka to the Gulf Coast. Enbridge also reversed a pipeline, Line 9, that previously delivered offshore crudes from Montreal west into Ontario, so that the line could move cheaper WCSB and North Dakota crudes east. Three other major projects to expand crude oil export capacity out of the WCSB were pursued to varying degrees but never completed. TC Energy's planned 830,000 barrels per day Keystone XL pipeline was to take a more direct route from Hardisty to Nebraska, then follow Keystone's route to Cushing and beyond. The project faced years of permitting delays before President Trump issued approval in January 2017, only to be rescinded by President Biden in January 2021 after significant construction had taken place. TC Energy had also proposed the Energy East Pipeline, a project that would have seen a line with capacity of up to 1.1 million barrels per day from Alberta to eastern Ontario via a combination of new pipelines and converted natural gas pipelines, and a new pipeline route to the east coast at St. John, NB, through Quebec. Permitting issues and apparent lack of shipper support led TC Energy to give up on the project in 2017. Enbridge had also proposed the Northern Gateway Pipeline, which envisioned a 525,000 barrels per day line running west from the Edmonton area to the west coast at Kitimat, BC, along with a 193,000 barrels per day condensate import pipeline flowing east from Kitimat. Northern Gateway received federal approval in 2014, but in 2016, Canada's Federal Court of Appeal rescinded that. While these pipeline projects were progressing, WCSB crude oil production was on a fairly steady march upward. Figure 4 shows monthly WCSB crude oil production and imports against consumption and reported inventory changes. We estimate WCSB available crude oil supply for export as the sum of production and imports, less consumption and inventory changes. Note that our use of the term export in this context refers to exports out of the WCSB, including to other parts of Canada. Our estimate of WCSB available crude oil supply for export closely matches the sum of total reported monthly pipeline flows out of the WCSB and crude by rail exports between January 2015 and June 2025, as disclosed in a 2025 report issued by the Canadian Energy Regulator, or CER. Now let's look at how WCSB supply available for export has matched up against export pipeline capacity. As we noted earlier, since the startup of Keystone in 2010, all other pipeline projects to expand egress out of the WCSB faced major delays. Meanwhile, through much of the 2010s, Canada's major oil producers moved forward with significant oil sands expansion projects, and production often grew beyond the ability of the export pipelines to clear the market. Figure 5 shows nameplate capacity from 2010 through 2025 for each pipeline system or group of systems, total combined available pipeline capacity, total WCSB crude oil supply available for export, and crude oil exports by rail. We can see that available supply neared or exceeded available pipeline capacity in late 2014, early 2015, in 2018 to 2019, and numerous times between 2020 and early 2024, before TMX started up in May 2024. We also see that available supply neared pipeline capacity again this past December, as WCSB supply spiked, as it typically does late in the year. In recent months, the gap between Canadian heavy crude prices and WTI has widened moderately but noticeably. In the next blog in this series, we will look at the correlation between the amount of surplus pipeline capacity and crude oil price discounts in the WCSB, and how destination markets for WCSB crudes have evolved. Later in this series, we will look at proposed projects to expand pipeline export capacity out of the WCSB, and how those projects line up against our outlook for WCSB supply growth. Turn Me Loose was written by Paul Dean and Mike Reno and appears as the second song on side one of Loverboy's eponymous debut studio album. The song is built around a bass riff and features crunchy guitar by Paul Dean and the plaintive vocals of Mike Reno. Released as the first single from the album in February 1981, it went to number 6 on the Billboard Pop Rock Tracks chart and number 35 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles. Personnel on the record were Mike Reno, lead vocals, Paul Dean, guitars, backing vocals, Scott Smith bass, Doug Johnson, keyboards, Matt Frenette, drums, and Nancy Nash and Katie Kassoon, backing vocals. The album, Loverboy, was recorded in 1979-80 at Little Mountain Sound in Vancouver and produced by Bruce Fairbairn. Released in the U.S. in November 1980, it went to number 13 on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Three singles were released from the LP. Loverboy is a Canadian hard rock band formed in Calgary, Alberta, in 1979. After opening shows for major rock acts in Canada, the group was signed to a record deal with Columbia Records Canada in 1979 and released their debut album, Loverboy, in the U.S. in November 1980. They have released 9 studio albums, 4 live albums, 16 compilation albums, and 29 singles and have sold more than 15 million records worldwide. 7 members have passed through the band since its formation. Bassist Scott Smith was presumed dead after a large wave swept him off his boat near San Francisco in November 2000 at 45. His body has never been recovered. Bassist Jim Clench died in November 2010 in Montreal at 61. After a hiatus from 1989 to 1991, Loverboy continues to tour and will be appearing at various venues in the U.S. beginning in June.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.